you ever feel that sometimes your overstimulation or stress or exhaustion comes from wondering how to help your children's big emotions, how to help them cope, how to help them get through them, and honestly, how to just behave? Or maybe sometimes you feel immense mom guilt after yelling at your kids because you lost your patience, or you were triggered over something and took it out on them. Well, mama, first, solidarity, we have all been there. And I am sure we have all been in that same thought process of, how do I help resolve this? Special guest, pediatric occupational therapist and parent coach, Kaylee Zeyer, is here to talk it out with us. Kaylee brings such an amazing perspective to helping our children's behaviors, their big emotions, and their coping strategies, like maybe aggression, by approaching your parenting with connection, brain science, and even managing your own triggers. Today's conversation is a good one, and one I feel that is so relatable in the sense of longing to help our children not only behave, but connect to them in a way that can support them for generations. Let's dive in. Hey, Mama. Welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I know you're here because you're tired of living day after day like you're drowning in the responsibilities of motherhood. You're done struggling with trying to find the time and energy to get it all done every day. And you want to show your little ones a good example, but you're so exhausted, which has your negative self-talk on repeat, your patience spread thin, and you feel like you're losing yourself a little more every day. Plus, the mom guilt, societal comparison game, and unpredictabilities of motherhood just does not help in trying to make a change. Well, sweet friend, this podcast will guide you on how to connect with yourself to break free from that survival mode cycle, all by identifying and possibly simplifying your habits. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood, and I needed to make a change to take back control of my time, energy, identity, and life. And in finding that freedom, it became my mission to help make that connection with moms that we can give our children and families the best and not at the expense of our own health, self, and well-being. Moms shouldn't have to choose between their families, priorities, and themselves. We can balance it all, and it all starts within ourselves. Let me take your hand and make that connection with you and equip you with simple, lifelong habits. If you are ready to say goodbye to just surviving and finally reclaim your life in motherhood, then you are in the right place. Let's get to the root of cultivating real change because it's time to feel like you again. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, mama. Let's overcome together. I am so excited for today's conversation because I can honestly talk to Kaylee all day about her expertise in connection parenting and managing and understanding our children's behaviors. But we kind of do already talk every day, but more than her just helping me so much, I have to add. But we actually have become really good friends and we met on Instagram a couple of years ago. And I remember those early days of scouring her profile, loving every post that she wrote and just feeling really related to and heard. Having a really sensitive child myself who could also show some aggression at times, her approach just really helped us and me really get that perspective of how he is feeling and growing and developing. And I can almost help him and keep my triggers and patience at bay in a sense, just by reading her posts on Instagram and talking with her. And before I get too far ahead of myself, I think we all can agree as moms that no one prepares you to be a parent. You can read the books or listen to other parents, but you just don't know until you're in the thick of it. And on top of everything else motherhood throws at you, the overwhelms of laundry, the chores, the overstimulation of siblings, never stopping fighting, those stressors of not having that second to yourself, insert all these pain points and episodes of this show. But one of the most important and most sacred jobs that we have as moms is actually raising our children, right? And insert the tantrums and big emotions, the aggression that comes along with that. It's hard to understand our children's emotions and developments, their triggers, and everything that we see on the outside because we see it at a perspective in our world, in our understanding, and our knowledge of years living as now with an adult brain. So that's why I'm so grateful that Kaylee is here to share some insight and empower us as to how to manage or even start in walking that path of supporting our children and working through some of that difficult behavior. So Kaylee, I would love to pass the mic over to you. I am so stoked to chat and learn from you today. Do you want to share a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself and your business?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So I am a pediatric occupational therapist. I've been working for 10 years, which seems kind of crazy to think. But a couple of years ago, when I was about to have my second son, I was really thinking, like, what can I do? I mean, I love my job as an OT. I honestly feel like that has been something God has just like called me to and gifted me in just like ever since I heard about OT. But I just also really had this desire to like be home with my kids, but I also needed to bring in, some income too. And so I was trying to figure out what that could look like. And so I thought I could do daycare. Like that would be a great way for me to stay home. I can make money. And I can still use my OT skills with all the other kids. And so I did start that. And shortly after, my oldest, who was 4 at the time, and I had like an 8-month-old. And after we kind of got into it, like, the honeymoon phase ended, I started recognizing a lot of aggressive type behaviors. Like, he was very quick to hit, he got very upset, and he'd always been more sensitive. Like, his meltdowns were always larger and long and more intense than I felt like a lot of kids. I mean, I just remember thinking, like, asking my husband, is this normal? Because as an OT, I'm like working with children who have sensory processing disorders and just all sorts of different diagnoses. And the behaviors that I was seeing, like the big feelings, was very much like what I was seeing in the clinic. And then it started turning to hitting. And I just didn't know what to do. And it was so overwhelming. And I was exhausted by the end of the day. I couldn't wait for my husband to be home and the final kid to leave so I could like escape to the bathroom. And that's like not what anybody dreams of when they're like, I'm gonna stay home with my kids,
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like trying all these OT things. I was creating calming spaces for him and all the calming strategies and just really trying to make it in a way that my OT brain could figure out. And it just was not working. And I don't even know how I found it, but I was listening to this one podcast and her parenting style is called hand-in-hand parenting. And I was like, I'd been trying some of it. Fast forward, anyways, we ended up getting her as a coach, going through the process, and it was so transformative. I understood him better. We utilized strategies that are so far from what society recommends, but are actually so helpful to our kids. They're empowering to you as a mom, as a parent. It cuts out a lot of the guilt that I think moms experience quite a bit. And eventually, because it was so impactful for me, it worked so well. I was using it on my daycare kids and actually seeing results for them. I decided to be trained in it. So, moving forward, now I just have this huge passion in helping parents who have kids with more intense behaviors. It doesn't necessarily have to be any type of, developmental diagnosis or anything like that. I think there's a lot of kids now, just with how society is changing, how we view our kids, or how society wants us to view our kids, less time outside, more screen time. Even if you try to limit it, like if your kid is in school, they're probably on screens quite a bit because that's just how things are going. And I think with that comes more behavior. And a lot of times the strategies that we're using just aren't working and we're not sure what to do. And then we fall into the trap of just being triggered ourselves, which I know we're going to get into. And that eventually gets into the mom guilt, and we just repeat this cycle over and over again. And so I just really have a heart now to help parents not only understand their kids and where the behavior is coming from, but also where their feelings are coming from, because motherhood sure brings up a lot of feelings for us. And that's not something that I ever remember learning or being taught about. And it can just be so lonely and like, where do I go from here?
Exactly. I just relate so much. Like when you and I started talking through, I think it was on Instagram for a while, and like you were commenting on my stories and I was commenting on yours, and I just love that everything that you brought about just the perspective of, yeah, your children's behaviors, but I feel like you always put that spin too to make the mom, feel, or the parents feel heard. And tell me, like, I just love your perspective. So I just want to kind of pass that baton to you, dive into kind of the triggers or kind of what you want to speak on today.
Yeah, I really wanted to just talk about getting triggered as a parent or a mom specifically. And which, if you're not really sure what exactly that means, it's just when our child is having a behavior or a meltdown, or we're in a certain situation and it becomes difficult for us to manage our own feelings. You get frustrated, or you're like, you just feel this bubbling up, like you just can't take it anymore. And again, this is where I think we get into a lot of the mom guilt, because we have this behavior, this situation happening. We react and then we feel bad about how we reacted. But it's like, we know we don't want to react that way, but we can't seem to change it. Mm-hmm. And that's really what one of the things that I'm really passionate about teaching parents, because it is a process that I went through. And it honestly is just amazing to me to recognize, like, our children can have big feelings and we can just support them through it and be fine. Like, mm-hmm. I sat through an hour long tantrum today and I was just like, I could probably sit here for a few more hours. Do I want to? No, but mm-hmm. I can. And so I just really wanted to dive more into that, because I don't think we have a really good perspective on where that comes from. So just talking more about what a trigger is. And like you mentioned, one of my favorite things is really to just help parents see through their child's perspective, because we just get stuck in where we are and our cognitive capacity, and not really recognizing that our kids are just mini versions of ourselves. And they actually have a lot of the same processes and stuff that our brain goes through. We just don't recognize it the same way. And so I always like to bring it back to us and how we're feeling and relate that to our kids and their behaviors and their reactions and how that's very similar. We just somehow don't see that. Mm-hmm. And so when our child is, you know, has a certain behavior, or we're in a specific situation and we get triggered, this is because we have stored up hurts that we haven't processed yet. We haven't resolved. And it's, you know, from a previous experience, it's often related to childhood or younger years. And it is when we as a child or our child feels unsafe or disconnected, we glob all these feelings that we're having in that moment with wherever or whatever we're doing. So each time an environment or situation feels or evokes that same feeling, that behavior is triggered. Mm-hmm. And the trigger creates that same strong reaction, because our brain is like bringing us back to that original time when we were triggered. And so we're feeling all those same feelings, even though consciously we're not thinking that, our brain is going there. So one example that I like to share with people, because I think it just makes it a little bit more clear and like applicable to our everyday living. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I would hear, especially just like working in the clinic, and I think it's pretty common, is if you brought your child to the doctor and they got a shot or they did something that was, you know, more uncomfortable, whatever that was. And then the next time you go, you're like, oh, you don't have to get a shot or whatever. And they still are struggling. Mm-hmm. It's because that original time they felt unsafe, or they had all these negative feelings and they were triggered. And when that happened, they stored up that situation, the location, the doctor, the building, all in one response. So thinking about going back to that doctor's office automatically triggers them, brings them back into that original situation of feeling triggered, feeling that fear, feeling unsafe, feeling angry, whatever it was. And they are brought right back there. And so you can say, oh, you're not getting this, or you're not doing that. And it doesn't necessarily matter, because they're already triggered. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what happens to us when we are struggling with, you know, for me, it was my son's aggressive behavior. Mm-hmm. I was very triggered by that. I'm a very patient person, but when he was just like hitting kids, other kids, it just bothered me so much. And obviously we don't want our kids to hit other kids. We don't want them to hurt other people. But it was more than that. And it took me a long time to realize why, but so much of what happens is either because it was done to us as a kid, or it was modeled. So for me, you know, my sister was very aggressive to me. Plus, you know, however my parents responded, I have no recollection, mm-hmm. but I had both sides of that. And so unknowingly, when my son was engaging in this physical aggressive behavior, that triggered my brain into like, this isn't safe. I hate this. Uh-huh. We need to stop this now. And that's kind of how I responded, because our brains want to keep us safe and they want to be efficient. Mm-hmm. So like being efficient means we have the same responses and it just happens. And so really figuring out what is triggering you, we have to learn to pause and recognize we're being triggered and resolve those triggers so that we can start to rewire our brain. So when those things happen, you know, like now when my son, because inevitably it's going to happen, like you can work on the behavior and it can really go away, but every now and then it's going to happen.
Right. Even us, right? Yeah. Even we, well, yeah.
And I mean, think about yourself, like when you're super frustrated, what do you want to do? I mean, you want to hit a wall or something.
Right. Yeah.
You'll do. Mm-hmm. But I have just like, I've been able to really resolve that trigger. And so you can get to a point where you actually resolve the reason why it's stuck there. And so that's really what I like to help parents do. And I think is really important for us as moms, especially if you're home with your kids a lot. Mm-hmm. You're going to be triggered a lot and you have to really figure out what those are so you can start to work through them.
There's just so much to unpack here. Like I just love talking to you about this topic, about all these topics, about, you know, almost helping your children through their behaviors and then helping you through your triggers. So tell me more kind of about, once you handle your triggers, how to help them. And I don't know if that makes sense, like help them work through their aggression then. So when your firstborn, when your oldest was aggressive, like how do you help him through those emotions then? Like once you have yourself down, you know, pat with your trigger, then how do you help him kind of work through that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways. So there's two parts to it. So one is there are four basic connection strategies that I teach people and you can utilize those. And that significantly helps your child to feel connected and safe. And it significantly drops the behaviors that you're seeing just by doing them. The other part is the co-regulation piece. So oftentimes what happens is when our child has a behavior that triggers us, we don't stay calm. You know, we respond in, like, especially if your child is doing something like physically hurting maybe a sibling and you just get really frustrated. I mean, we're not intentionally hurting our kids, hopefully, but oftentimes we might like physically remove them and maybe like just like rush them off or grab them a little bit harder than normal just because we're so frustrated. Or, you know, the way that we respond, unfortunately for us sometimes, is exactly what our kids are learning to do. So that saying that's like, you know, I forget, how does it go? It's like you can say whatever, but they're going to actually do what they see, not what I do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work. I don't know. Mom brain scare, right?
Right.
But that never works because our kids are going to model exactly what we do. So we are actually like, when your child is struggling, we'll just use aggressive behaviors because that's one that, you know, I'm very familiar with. When we are maybe more forcefully removing them or something, they're learning to respond in that aggression, even though obviously we're not hitting them, it's still in that type of, you know, that frustration and those reactions. And so we are actually reinforcing that behavior for them. So when they start to feel triggered, they're co-regulating with us, which means they're going to do what we do to get regulated. They're going to regulate from how we're regulating. And when we're not regulating, you know, bring this more frustrated, angry, maybe shaming, whatever it is, because it can be different. You know, maybe you run off and slam a door, or maybe you punish or, you know, shame them in the way that you're speaking. That is then what your child is going to do. Mm-hmm. And so when you can learn to manage your triggers, you can approach these big behaviors with more calm and empathy and understanding. And when you can do that, then your child is going to learn that same thing. And obviously, if you've been doing it this other way for a while, you can still correct that and change it. It's just going to take a little bit more consistency and time for your child to recognize, okay, this is how we do things now. Yeah. And that's really where they're going to start shifting after they learn that co-regulation of like approaching things with more calm. So the brother takes the toy away instead of lashing out and yelling. Like, how many times have you seen kids, you know, their sibling takes a toy away and they yell at them? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? It's because whenever that child is taking a toy away, the parent yells. Mm-hmm. And so when we can model something different and they can learn how to do that differently, then they're actually going to start doing it differently and then transition into more of a self-regulation phase without needing us necessarily to regulate their bodies.
So fascinating. I'm staring at you. We're on video right now, but it's like, I'm just staring at you just like in awe, because it's very simple concepts, right? But then when you're in the moment, it's obviously that's when it gets heated, you get frustrated and like your emotions. So it really comes back to you.
Well, you just brought up something that I think is so true. And, you know, we often get into this of like, I want to fix my child's behavior. And it is so much more about you and your own behavior than it is about your kids. And it's unfortunate.
Like, that pause is going to stay there. And it's true. So tell me, because you said that you sat through a long tantrum today. That's not something that I feel a lot of parents, if you're a stay-at-home parent, maybe you can, right? Sit through that time. But tell me, what do you do? Do you hold them? Do you do what they want to do? Like, how do you sit through that situation for that extended amount of time? And then how does it kind of end?
So I think, you know, it kind of depends on the situation. In this particular situation, my son did not want to nap and he needed to, and he was just overtired. And the other thing that I think we often need to really reflect on is, so this morning we went to MOPS. So if you don't know what that is, it's Mothers of Preschoolers. And it's like a church thing. You go there and you meet with other moms, kids go and play with other kids. And he just had a really hard time separating from me. He cried. I literally had to like say, like, you have to take him because he's not going to just like, oh, hey, you know, I'll play with you. And he's also a very sensitive child. And so I already knew going in when these behaviors started to come up, or I don't even want to say behaviors, but just more intense feelings started to come up. I knew it was because that was stressful for him. And when, you know, we'll often hear like, if you drop your child off at daycare and they're crying when you leave, and then the daycare provider is like, oh, it's okay, they stopped crying like as soon as you left, it's okay, everything's great. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, that is great. But what's actually happening is your kid is recognizing this isn't a safe place to have all these big feelings. And so they block them in. Mm-hmm. So then often what happens is they get home with you and they start to erupt. And then we feel like, what did we do wrong? But really it's because we have created this environment of safety and trust for our child that they recognize that they can have all these big feelings and behaviors and we're still going to love them. And so I already had this mindset, like, I know that he's overtired. I know that he's not feeling well. And I know that this was really hard for him and he's probably trying to process it. Mm-hmm. And so we were at my parents' house because I take care of my grandparents. And so we were in my parents' bedroom. And I had him on the bed. He wanted to rock at some point. And so we did. And then we just went back into the bed because he wasn't, I also at the same time kind of hold a boundary. So like he wanted to crawl away off the bed and I'm like, you gotta stay here. He didn't want me to hold him. I'm like, well, unless you can lay here, I have to help you stay here. And so a lot of it is really just about creating boundaries and doing it lovingly and empathetically and not out of anger and frustration, and then letting them have their feelings. Like I spent a lot of time just listening, and because he just wanted to go upstairs, I'll just say, I know we have to take a nap. And he would erupt again. And the thing about kids' behaviors and their feelings, and especially when they have some hurt stored up, is as you just let it unfold and you're with them and they can see that you're calm and you're going to allow them to have the feelings, it kind of progresses like a bell curve. So they start to intensify. And as they're at like the top of that bell curve, you can see like shaking and trembling, like he was like shaking his body. And I know sometimes that can be something that parents are like, we got to stop it. This isn't good. But when I see that, I'm like, okay, we are like really processing through big feelings here. And this is, to me, this is a good thing. And so then after he kind of goes through that, then it starts to come down. And then eventually he calmed down on his own. So it's not really about having to do anything. It's really just letting it play out and supportively listening. And one thing that I find really cool, now this was on newborns, so, but I think it probably transfers to everybody. Mm-hmm. They had done this study and they collected tears. So from a child, a baby that was crying alone in a room, and from a baby that was crying with their caregiver present. And they found that the baby that was crying with a caregiver, like supporting them, not stopping the crying, but supporting them through it, actually had cortisol in the tears, which if you don't know what cortisol is, it's a stress hormone. Mm-hmm. So they were actually releasing stress through their tears. And I think if you think about yourself, and especially as moms, like when we get so overwhelmed, so tired because we're up lots in the night, exhausted, so many things to do, and we're just getting frustrated by things. Eventually we get to this breaking point, and I don't know about you, but I've had several good cries. And so often after the cry, it's like, okay, I can do this. Like, here's what we need to do now. And we don't necessarily realize we're doing this. And I think this is one of the ways that we don't necessarily see that parallel with our kids, but we get through this cry and we feel better. And we did nothing but cry. Mm-hmm. Crying is healing. And so I think when we get that mindset for our kids, crying is healing, when we're supporting it, not when we're like, okay, go cry and come get me when you're done.
Sure.
It can just be so helpful for the relationship and the trust and the connection, the behaviors. They've offloaded a bunch of feelings, so they're feeling better. And you will notice, like, there were times, and even I think back into the clinic, and I didn't even know this was what was happening, but I've had kids who were like freaking out, and then all of a sudden they'd be laughing, and I'm like, what is going on here? It's because they like got rid of this stuff that was really bogging them down, and they just felt better. It's like a light switch.
Sure.
And so, I mean, it's going to vary, but really just holding your boundaries firmly, but empathetically, and then letting them have feelings.
Mm-hmm. I remember the meme, maybe it was a graphic. You sent me a picture recently, and it was about like crying isn't supposed to fix anything. It's supposed to release. Crying isn't supposed to fix, supposed to release. Is that what it was?
And
it
just, or heal or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, that wasn't even in terms of children. It was just in terms of emotions. So it's so true in terms of, you know, child to adult. It's healing. It's not supposed to fix anything. And that's why I feel like, oh, well, don't cry. You know, what does that solve? It's not supposed to solve anything. It's supposed to release and heal. So, okay. I have one last question. I don't know if you want to cover anything else either, but I feel like this is kind of a polar or a divide on, especially like on social media or online. If you're not familiar with connection parenting, what is the difference? Because I feel like it gets kind of like a passive rap or a rap to where it's parenting without discipline or things like that. So can you kind of walk me through? Because I know, again, I love your style with, you've told me this many times, like you hold boundaries. You just said that you have boundaries. You are raising them with respect. So kind of tell me your take on what connection parenting is.
Yeah. And I've seen that so much too, you know, like there's a lot going around on like gentle parenting and like how that's unbiblical or how it, you know, raises kids who don't respect authority. And I think it really matters. Like, what are you defining gentle parenting as? And I guess I am doing more connection focused parenting, but I kind of see it as under that umbrella. And so really what I think of as connection parenting is having your child through behaviors with connection. That doesn't mean that that they just get to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That means you are the authority as a parent. You still have rules. You still expect them to listen and obey to you, and you hold them to it, but you do that in a way that's more connecting versus punishing. Because when we punish, that induces shame, that breaks that connection. And honestly, when you do that and when you become more disconnected, that's where you see more behavior. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a lot of times I've heard people like even just talking, not even like in the realm of parenting now, but like back, I remember even in college, just talking to my husband's friends about how they were parented and how it was just so different from me. And like, oh, well, I turned out fine, you know. But it's like, even if we're able to respect authority and follow the rules and do this stuff, it's like, we also have to pay attention to the emotional side. Mm-hmm. And what baggage are you bringing? And obviously there's like going to be no perfect parent. You are going to do something. Like, let me just put it out there for you. Like, you are going to do something that quote unquote messes up your child. Mm-hmm. But this way of parenting like helps you to work on that in a way that's supportive to you and your child. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we can come with connection, we get way better results. And it feels good. And I always wanted to parent in a way that was like, I didn't have to manipulate my child's behavior. You know, like I don't have to reward them to follow my direction. I don't have to punish them to follow my direction. They're going to do what I ask them to because they respect my authority. And I think that comes from connection and using it in a way that's not like, I have control over you, but like, I'm giving you grace and I'm giving you empathy and understanding, but I'm still expecting you to do what I say, because, you know, I am in charge here, but I also know what's best for you.
Amen.
You think so as a five-year-old, but you know.
Yes, exactly. And just speaking with you just through Voxer and, you know, our texts and things like that, you have helped me so much. And I have seen changes in Jace, like as he's growing and just processing. And I like text you these little things like, oh my gosh, he did this today, because I could tell like his little brain is maturing. And yeah, it's, you have helped me so, so much. Tell me about, you have, what do you offer? I know that you have coaching. Tell me kind of a little about the packages that you offer.
Yeah. So if you just want to like get more of an idea into the style of parenting, I actually also have a podcast. It's called Chaos to Connected. And I just dive into all sorts of behavior and really help you shift your perspective and recognizing what your child is going through. Because I think when we can do that, it's much easier for us to come to that behavior and actually get to the heart of it versus being stuck on what the actual behavior is. And then you'll also find resources there in the show notes on trigger management. So I created a freebie, a 3-part audio, like short, because as a mom, like I like to listen to stuff. It's much easier for me to consume than like reading something. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like, I get triggered a lot, I need help with that, this dives into what triggers are, how you can start to understand. It has like a little bit of exercises that you can go through, and then starts to talk about one or two ways that you can actually start to do this. So that would be an option. And if you're like, I need help with this behavior or with my triggers, then yes, I do offer one-on-one coaching, which is really exciting. And you can also like book a call with me or reach out, and we can just talk about what that, you know, what it's looking like for you, and then see if it's a good fit.
That sounds wonderful. So tell people where they can find you. Chaos to Connected podcast, Kaylee Zier, at Kaylee Zier on Instagram.
Kaylee Jill Zier, because I think somebody else had it.
Got it. Okay. I will put everything in the show notes, guys. Everything that we discuss will be in the show notes below.
Yeah. Those would be the main places.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time and being with us today. I can't wait to re-listen to this episode. And mamas, go check out Kaylee on her podcast, Chaos to Connected, or on Instagram at Kaylee Jo Zier. I hope that you got so much out of this episode, as I always do talking to Kaylee. So until next week, as always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to reach your breakthrough. I'm sending my love and light.
Did you find this episode very well worth farming? Please read Mama Review.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me on the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I pray this episode has grown and helped you in some way. If it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a review sharing how it's impacted you. It truly lights me up hearing you're on your way to your breakthrough. And then, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her we are never alone. And remember, there isn't ever a one-size-fits-all to overcoming our personal hardships, but there are a lot of parallels with how we show up to our lives and common habits we can make our own to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, and balance. Be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our mom community, and resources and courses for you to overcome your survival mode cycle once and for all with doable habits. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.